Well, I had planned on doing a series, actually kind of taking it easy by taking my notes, or whatever you want to call them, the services that we had been doing here in learning how to pray and going into the closet of prayer, learning what prayer is and the Lord's Prayer. We have been walking through the Sermon on the Mount Sunday services, Sunday morning services here in Scammon Bay, and I thought I'd bring those forth. But the Lord changed the direction that I would be on, going in, the direction that He wants for us for a word today. And we're in Romans chapter 3. So if you're at Romans 3, let us begin and read from verse 1. Just read that chapter to about verse 23. Verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, no, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon them, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There we have chapter 3, and only a sampling of what Paul, since chapter 1, has been trying to express to us, or rather God, through the Apostle Paul, has been trying to express to us. And in verse 23, it's as if right here at this point, and I'm going to read it again, and many of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, have this scripture memorized, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or in your New International Version or your NASB. all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right there, if you want to call it that, that is God placing the very last nail on the lid of the coffin, nailing it shut, because for three chapters, through the Apostle Paul, God is telling us that there is nothing good in man whatsoever in them when the Ten Commandments, in fact, the entire first five books of the Bible, what some people call the Pentateuch, what the Jews call the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that law that was God's minimum standard for man, it pointed out that there is not a single person on the planet Earth that can ever meet up to that apart from God Himself. The God who in history, 2,000 years ago, did something that He had never done before in all of history. Something that the angels nearly bent over in heaven with their mouths dropped open in awe to see that God became a man. That in Jesus Christ, God, 100% God, setting aside His glory as God, became a man, fully man, completely man, 100% man, yet without sin. The only man who was ever to keep the law. And in chapter 3, the climax of this that God expresses in chapter 1, beginning in chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3, and in chapter 3 expressing, as we read here, quoting from Psalms 14 and also Psalms 53, that it says, as it is written in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. We are so depraved as human beings. We are so sinful that we can't seek God without His power. Jesus said in John chapter 6, He says, no one comes to Me except the Father Himself draw him. It requires the power, the supernatural power of God, in order to even make us willing to be able to respond to the love that He has in Christ Jesus. To be able to say yes to Christ and no to sin. It requires the supernatural power of God. You know, these days there are preachers that have a tendency to want not to offend. To want to say, look, folks, I want you to know that you're special. I want you to know that God loves you. Well, God does love you. And in Christ you are special, but I got to tell you that's no way to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be able to preach the cross, to preach Him crucified. I know that many of you are out there hurting. I know that in Western Alaska, in my village in particular, is no different than any other village. Scammon Bay is just a model of every other village, that there is hurt and there is pain, there is sorrow, there is rape and incest, molestation, bitterness, unforgiveness, vile acts on brother against brother, sister against sister, father against child. And then we want to water down the gospel so that we can say, okay, you know what? Those things happened to you, but here you need to hear the gospel. Let me tell you this, that the reason those things happen to as evidence that there is nothing good in anyone. Romans chapter 12, I was able to preach on that. I had the good pleasure to preach on that in my dear friend's house, who just lost two sons. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you now, the words that I'm saying will resonate. What does that mean, resonate? They will ring true in your heart that what I'm saying is truth. That apart from God, there is nothing good. That apart from Jesus Christ, there is no thing that I can do that is any good whatsoever. See, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And a sinner that does not know Jesus Christ is not looking for God. You want to talk about seeker sensitivity? There is only one that seeks. It's Jesus Christ, because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There is no man, I just read in Romans chapter 3, that there is no man that seeketh after God. The only ones that will seek after God is those that have been saved, who have received the miracle of the cross in their heart, that they have repented from the sin that they once loved and turned to the God that they once hated to glorify God and exalt the name of Jesus Christ, because it is by the blood that He shed and the wrath that He suffered under a holy and just God to bring us reconciliation with God. What does a reconciliation with God mean? That we have a relationship now with Him, where before we were His enemies. We need to understand that, folks, because as I just read in Romans 12:3, we ought not to esteem ourselves, think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Some versions say esteem ourselves, and there's so much talk about self-esteem. You have no self-esteem except it be God-esteem. That God reached down it while you were depraved and lifted you up, as it says, as it is written in James, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. That when you lift yourself up, when I lift myself up, when we lift ourselves up and have exalted ourselves, we exalt not the cross of Jesus Christ and we exalt not the name of Jesus Christ. That is God's doing. We must humble ourselves. I am not, brothers and sisters, I and all those of you that are listening that may not know Christ, I am not here to build up your self-esteem. I care not about your self-esteem. When I go into my prayer closet and I pray for this village and I pray for Western Alaska, when I lose sleep at night, I do not lose sleep because I'm worried that you can't balance your checkbook. I am concerned for your everlasting soul. Too many preachers today spend more time preaching than they do spend reading the Bible in prayer and in time of the presence of God through the Holy Scriptures. And that ought not to be. So, I am blessed that actually here in Western Alaska, I partner with brothers, pastors, men of God who are willing to stand for the truth of the Scriptures that say that we are so depraved that it takes the supernatural act of God, and therein is God glorified. See, it says here in Romans that it says, well, should I sin? Shall we continue to sin? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? Because earlier Paul says we're in chapter 5, verse 20, he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We have the law of God, the Ten Commandments. It says that I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. But, folks, we put a greater priority on basketball than we do God. Basketball is more important to us than God. Even subsistence hunting. Or even our families, our jobs, money, any relationship. Those things are more important than God. The evidence we bear witness against ourselves because of what we speak of. What's the conversation all about? 6 days out of the week, we're talking about everything else. Yet we go to church on Sunday and bless God, we're saved. And we talk of God for the few minutes after the service. Pray for the few minutes during the service. And if we're really spiritual, we go to the evening service too. We take one day a week and give that to God. When Jesus came down to heaven, or from heaven as the heavenly man, when he came down to earth, he changed the standard. When before the law of God, the Ten Commandments, God's minimum standard upon the earth. You shall have no other gods before me. Here's the minimum standards. And you shall have no other gods before me, the first commandment. You shall not worship idols or serve them, the second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, the third commandment. Fourth commandment, honor the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. The sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Eighth commandment, you shall not steal. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. In the tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's animals, his wife, his house, or anything that belongs to your neighbors. You shall not covet. And those were the minimum. Those ten represented the whole. And then Jesus came and summed it up in two. What's the great commandment in the law, they said unto Jesus. And Jesus said, the great commandment in the law. He said, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu Yahweh Echad, Ve'ahavta et Yahweh Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, U'v'chol Nefeshka, U'v'chol Mudecha. That's Hebrew. I wasn't speaking in tongues, if you want to know. He was saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mind and strength is actually translated from one word in Hebrew, modecha, that with your everything, with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your everything. And he said the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That sums up everything. The Ten Commandments were in there, and no one has ever kept them except for one man, Jesus Christ. Because God said, Jesus Christ said, when the rich young ruler ran up to him and says, Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Was Jesus saying that he wasn't God? No. He was pointing him to the truth that he was God. The only righteous man that ever walked the face of the planet, the only Jew that ever kept the law, the only son that wholly obeyed the Father, that he was the only one that kept the law, and he was also God. And he told them this great truth, that there is nothing good apart from God. And he told his disciples this truth the night he was betrayed. In John chapter 15, he says, Apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have these two things that Jesus spoke. One to the rich young ruler and one to his disciples. That there is nothing good but God. So apart from God, there is nothing good. And then apart from Jesus Christ, there is nothing that we can do that is any good. As sinners, it's not a question of, I do these things bad. Or I do these things badly. I do this mischief. It's not a matter of that. It's that we've done nothing good. And the longer I've walked with Christ, I realize that even as a Christian, there's nothing that I do that is good. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he says, and I'll get the verse number, I don't remember which verse it is, because he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is a man who is inspired of God, an apostle who was at least 20, 30 years old in the Lord, receiving the very words of God, walking in the Spirit of God, communing with the in the presence of God. But he says, yet in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In our flesh is nothing. And that brings glory to the cross of Jesus Christ. That when we understand, it is not a bad thing to confess that we are sinners. I don't have to convince you that you're a sinner. The Bible declares that you are. And I'm not just speaking to those that are unsaved. I'm speaking to you, Christian. I'm speaking to me, Christian. We're Christian believers. I'm speaking to you, pastor, deacon, church board chairman. I'm speaking to you too. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And we actually take great joy in that, because therein is the cross crucified. Our sin is so disgusting. Our sin is so wretched. Our sinful self is so bad that it took God Himself coming down and becoming a man named Jesus Christ to take the punishment for that sin. That's how bad that sin is. And when we see, and when we confess, and when the Holy Spirit has brought the revelation of that reality, that truth to my heart, that I am a wretched sinner, we sing that song, folks, come on. We sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Are you just singing the words because you like to sing? Will you stop singing that song if that's all it is? But if you understand God's amazing grace in the cross of Jesus Christ, oh, beloved, that song is more than a song. That song is more than a hymn. That is the very truth of God from heaven come down upon the lips of man singing praises unto His mighty name. Do you understand that? Have you grabbed a hold of the truth, of the reality, that it starts with the understanding that we are no good, we do not seek God, that it be not for the power of God working in me and creating faith in me, I would not seek Him. And that once He has done that in my heart, that I might receive the goodness that is the cross of Jesus Christ, I must surrender. Surrender all that there is to that truth. To absolutely abandon everything there is to that truth. Jesus says that anyone who loves mother, father, sister, brother more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not hate his life for my sake will lose it. That pride, that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that jealousy, get that out of your life by submitting to the one thing there is. Because once that faith has been created in us, we should have no alternative, if we've really seen the cross of Christ, to surrender all. To surrender all, like the other song, like the other hymn that we sing. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. Why? Because the Bible says that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. There is nothing but the cross. Nothing but the cross. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing in my hand I bring. Only to thy cross I cling. Let us not just sing those songs. Let the reality of the revelation of that. Do not be lifted up in self-esteem. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. God wants us to know that the greatest gift that He has shown the world in His Son was to save sinners. Vile, wretched, fallen men. That we may be honored to know His presence forever. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank You so much that You have revealed unto us the truth that Satan wants to hide from us. He wants us to believe that we're exalted, that we could be like God. From the beginning with Adam, he did that, Lord. Let not that lie shroud our eyes. Let it not cover our eyes. Let it not be over our ears. Lord God, let your word come forth in our hearts, that when we have that starting point to see the cross of Jesus Christ, that all things become new. That your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thou art forever and ever. Lord God, we pray, Father, that these words sink into our hearts as believers. That we pray, Lord God, that as the preaching of the cross went forth, that those who are listening in, that if not that relationship with Jesus Christ, that are still clinging to those sins, Lord, may they be broken free from that bondage through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this time on KICY with the listeners. And as we bring forth the prayer requests, we pray, Lord God, that you be exalted above the heavens. May your glory be over all the earth in Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen. Again, if you have prayer requests, you want to call in, so 1-800-478-5429. If you're calling in from the villages, 1-800-478-KICY. And if you're calling in from Nome, if you're calling locally, call 443-2213. And the ministry of KICY is awesome. They pray for you right there on the phone. They encourage you right there. Their ministry is not just going forth on the airwaves. We have a dedicated group of brothers and sisters there that are just blessed to be able to serve you in this way. And we thank you for calling in with your prayer request. I'm going to read today, just to save my voice a little bit, because though I've been miraculously healed this week of pneumonia, I do want to. I want to take it easy on my voice a bit, because I still also have a funeral to do today, and I want to be able to have my voice for that as well. But here's the prayer request. I'm going to read them through, and then we're just going to bring them all before the Lord and however the Spirit leads us today. Please pray. First group of prayer requests. It says, please pray for a listener's disabled sister who was just diagnosed with colon cancer. The doctors say she does not have long to live. She can't speak and is in a lot of pain. She's in Anchorage, and the staff is asking for family members to come and comfort her. They praise the Lord in this prayer request for all the fish that we have been catching, and a prayer of thanksgiving for everything. Prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for everything, even when it seems like difficulty. And the next prayer request is, prayer is requested for a listener and her sons. Her youngest son won't talk to her anymore after a scolding, and pray that his heart may be softened, and to also pray for this listener's health. The next prayer request called in was a prayer of praise from a listener's friend who has been using drugs for over 30 years. They have been delivered from using marijuana. And this friend is also seeking healing and is seeking help in getting his financial life back on track. To pray for that the family will join together and walk with the Lord. The next prayer request is to pray for a listener and her family. Pray for her girls to stay out of mischief and for her one daughter who is sickly. The next prayer request is to pray. A prayer is requested for a listener's daughter who has contracted E. coli, and her kidneys are shutting down. Pray for healing there, and pray for this listener's daughter, that she has one more college test, and pray for wisdom and success. Pray for a listener's family is the next prayer request. It was to pray for the listener's family, to pray that they may be more caring and understanding with each other, and not be jealous of each other. to pray that this listener will find a life partner who honors her family relationships, to pray that this listener can be more Christian, to be able to deal with her lust, alcohol, and depression, to open the doors for work that the Lord wants her to do, that she can support herself and her grandpa. The next prayer request is to pray for a listener and her daughters, that they are moving, and both daughters have been sick. Pray that the Lord will get everything in place, from finances to travel mercies, to pray for Christian fellowship and daycare in their home, to pray for deliverance from the alcohol that attacks her family. The next prayer request is prayer is requested for a listener whose husband is coming home from jail. While he was in jail, his only son died in February, and he couldn't come home for the funeral. Pray for the children to be strong as well, and pray for that the marriage will be strong. The next prayer request is requested for a listener's family, and that God will help her to follow him and be a better person. Next one is to please pray for the family which lost the two children in the drowning accident in Scammon Bay. Pray for comfort and healing. And that funeral will be held today at approximately 1 o'clock. They're still finalizing the details there. And the last prayer request that we have from our list is to pray for a 5-year-old granddaughter who has developed a severe case of hives. Her face is swollen. She is having trouble breathing, and she has been hospitalized, to pray for her healing. And those are our prayer requests from our list. And let us go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray together. Let us seek the face of the Lord, and let us come boldly to the throne of grace by the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. Lord, to come into thy presence. It says in the King James Version that because we have access to the throne of grace through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, through his atoning sacrifice, we have access, and that boldly, that we may boldly come before the throne of grace. But that word also is translated in other versions, Lord, confidently. And Lord, the more I walk with you, Lord, the less confidence I sometimes feel. The less confidence I sometimes have. Lord, there are many listeners out there that are saying the same thing. Lord, I don't feel worthy to come before you of those things that I have done. Those things that I do, but we praise you, Lord, that it is not based on because I feel I have no access. It's based on your word and your promise. And Lord, I stand upon your promise now, that it says in Ephesians that Jews and non-Jews, because of Jesus Christ, now have access. We have both have access to the Father by the same Spirit. And then that, on those promises, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the cross, Lord, we humbly come. We come confidently because of your word and stand upon your word and your work, Lord. That's what brings us to you. We pray, Lord, that the truth will ring forth in our hearts, that we have access to you by that. That it's not from lighting candles and not from staring at pictures and icons and not from all this other, all these other things we think we need to do, but only by the blood of Jesus do we have that access. Father, minister to our hearts now that we know that truth. Father, break our hearts because of sin. Let us come in contrition to your throne of grace. Let us come in humility before you, Lord, saying that we have nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, let those hymns be truthful in our hearts and our minds. Let the reality of the conversion of our hearts go to our heads. Lord, let us pray as you would lead us in intercession, always. Lord, remind us of the victory that you won on the cross, that the cross of Jesus Christ, the most important event, the time of the greatest sorrow in all the world when you poured out your wrath upon your only Son, is the time also of the greatest joy and the greatest exaltation. We acknowledge that, Lord. I acknowledge that on behalf of all those who can't express those words, Lord. We say that that is so and that is true. And we pray, Lord God, that here are those requests. We pray, Lord, as we don't know how to pray. We're frail and weak in flesh. We want to pray that which is right, but often we pray, Lord, that, Lord, forgive us, Lord. We pray so that we can have our own needs met. Instead of seeking to bring you joy and pleasure. Father, sometimes I pray to fill some of my most selfish needs. And Lord, we have needs, and we pray, Lord, that those needs be met, but that you change our hearts so that we can see that those needs that we have are the needs that you have placed in our lives to give you glory. Father, for all those selfish requests that I've made, I pray that you answer a no. Father, I pray as a pastor in Western Alaska that through that your congregation of faith here in Western Alaska will know that I confess that I'm the chiefest of sinners and that I don't want even my selfish requests met, Lord. I want you to answer them, no. Because, Lord, I'm going to say that if there is a request that was called in this week that I've read across there, and if it is a request that only fills the selfish needs of our flesh, Lord, I'm going to ask you to answer it, no. And I pray that they know that all they're asking for is for you to answer. Because you answer the question, you answer the prayers of the saints, and it's either yes, no, or wait. You always answer. You hear us, Lord. And I thank you. Father, there are requests here of great need and great anxiety. I pray, Lord, that through these we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Father, there were prayer requests concerning alcohol. Father, I pray, Lord, that Scammon Bay is a dry village, yet I had to break up a drunken brawl on July 4th. Lord God, please change our hearts that I won't have to do that again. I know that those men were ashamed. I pray that they don't be. I pray, Lord, that you don't hold the shame that they are feeling right now. I hope, pray that you don't hold that sin against them. But Lord, let them know that there is forgiveness at the cross, that there is the love of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that even unto your ministers who are fallen and frail, that we want to extend your love with open arms. Not just what we had here on July 4th in my village, but all the villages, Lord. Let them seek you through good and godly counsel of the congregation of believers. And Lord, make our congregations of believers, forgive us, Lord. Our congregations hold bitterness. Lord, we're unforgiving. We're bitter and we're so selfish, and we call ourselves the children of God. Lord, we're babies of God. We're crying out like a baby that wants a diaper change, wants attention. Lord, let us have the childlike faith. Let us be humble. Those are the prayers that I'd love to hear answered, Lord, as you whisper in our ears. As you whisper in our ears, come unto me. Lord, I want to hear come unto me. I want our folks to hear come unto me. All you that are weary and heavy laden. Lord, I pray for healing. There are folks that are sick out there. I pray, Father, for healing. Nevertheless, not as we will, but as you will. We pray, if it be possible, that this, let the cup of suffering pass, that we might learn the lesson of faith, that we might be conformed to the image of Christ, and we might walk in boldness, whatever that is. But Lord, we ask for some healing, Lord, in these situations and circumstances. We pray for relationships, Lord, that they be godly. That our boys of God become men of God. That our girls of God become women of God. We pray that we might nurture those relationships, that we might grow in those relationships with Christ exalted in the cross at center. Lord, I pray against, I don't know, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you intercede on behalf of those ungodly relationships. Lord, there should be no girlfriend, boyfriends in Western Alaska with children. You called us unto marriage to raise families, Lord. But unfortunately, we're flesh and sinful, and we do those things. Father, forgive us for that. And renew a right spirit in us. Create in us a clean heart, that we have not those things, and that we desire now, Lord, to exalt only you. To exalt you. Let Western Alaska be the example for all the world at this time, especially this week. Let Western Alaska be an example of what your light does in being poured forth through men and women of God. Lord, raise us to be men and women of God. Raise us to be men and women that are wholly devoted to you, that are completely surrendered to you, that are absolutely abandoned unto you, Lord. Let that be our prayer, Lord. Let us have prayers that are eternal, Lord. Let eternity be stamped to our eyelids. May we have, as my brother Pastor Harvey Fisco sings, may eternity be in view. And keep our mind on eternal things. Lord God, thou art God. You know our needs. You know what we need most. And we ask for those to be fulfilled. We ask for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon our lives, that we know that the Holy Spirit abides with us and is in us. But we ask for your pouring out. When we ask, Lord, for patience to wait. We have not waited upon you, Lord, and we wonder why we don't walk in power. Father, give us that time on our knees in prayer. Build upon the 5 minutes to turn it into 10. Open up our Bibles before us, Lord, and let's not leave them in the pews and rely on the pew Bible, because the pew Bible stinks, Lord. May the Bible be in our hands and be in our hearts. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Let us walk in the joy in the presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of sorrow, that the unbelieving world may say, that is what I want. Lord, answer that prayer. Answer that prayer, Lord.
that thou art the resurrection and the life. And in Jesus' name, we pray these things, that these are the important issues of life, that apart from Christ, there is no life, for He is very life. That's what we want, Lord. Those are our prayers this day. And in Christ's name, in the name of Jesus, B'Shem Yeshua Mashiach, in Jesus' name, in Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Folks, I didn't pray for this prayer request individually. God knows. I trust in God, and I've had a week where there has been nothing but trust in God. God wanted that prayer today, that we surrender all those things, that we cast our cares upon Jesus, and that we seek after those things first. As it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. To seek Him. Because remember this, the only thing that makes heaven, heaven, is God. If you want to go to heaven, but you don't want the presence of God, you're actually desiring hell. Because the only place, when it comes down to it, the only place that will lack is heaven in the end will be hell. And that's what's eternal torment, the lack of the presence of God, the grace of God lifted up and removed. I want to urge you that if you do have prayer requests, I know I didn't pray for them individually, but I do, and so do the other pastors. Don't hesitate to call in. Find healing for your souls. The saints in KICY, the beloved brothers and sisters in KICY ministering unto you, call up 1-800-478-5429, 1-800-478-KICY, and then Nome 443-2213. Nome 443-2213. Call in. Bring a testimony if God has touched your heart. If you have repented from sin, bring a testimony today. Let them know that this is the day that the Lord has made and you have given your life unto Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you have been floundering, call in today to KICY and give a testimony. Let them know that you are now rejoicing in the kingdom of God, for God hath done great things. May you have a blessed day, a blessed week in the Lord, and pray daily that He come in Jesus' name.